The same thing kept coming back to me, and I looked at into the Gospels, and I looked at Jesus Christ, which is our example. What do I do? And I got to that section where he spent time with his disciples and his friends, the disciples. They were his friends, too, like you guys are ours. And he shared love with them. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it talks about the qualities of the love of God, and it ends with, but the greatest of these, faith, and our faith is powerful. It's important. We need to keep growing in our faith. Faith, hope, the return of Jesus Christ, oh my gosh. How huge is that going to be? How healing, how rewarding, this world is going to change, and we're not going to be here for the bad part of it. The hope. But the greatest of these is what? Love. And most of you know that. I mean, we all know that. We've read those sections of the Word. So that's what I'm going to share on, about loving one another. Because through the years, when the ministry was going through the hard times and the short times and all that, we kept pushing here in San Diego to just stay faithful to the Word, no matter how many people came or didn't come. And we just kept loving people. And people would come in and do seminars, and that would bring other people from other states and cities into San Diego. And I'm going to tell you, this is honest to the truth, almost without exception, when those meetings were over, we got notes, letters, comments, of how much love people felt when they came into this fellowship. Because the love of God was very hard to find in some of those areas where there was nobody, you know, but they would come and they would be blessed by the Word of God, the teacher that taught, but by you guys, and the love that you shared with people when you were here at those meetings. It got noticed. It was powerful. And I want you guys to continue to love each other that way. And that's why I picked what I'm going to share with you. I want to focus on the words to love one another. This word, to love one another, is a Greek word called allelon, A-L-L-E-L-O-N, which means one another in particular. It's talking about us, the church. Each other. No one gets missed. We are to do this for each other. And it should be mutually shared by and for each other. There's going to be times when Joe needs to be ministered to. He gets ministered to. He gets loved. He gets healed. And then somebody else comes up that Joe can minister. It's a mutual thing. It's not just up to the leadership. Or it's not just up to a pastor. It's one another. It's the continued group of the body of Christ. It's the family that we've been called to. You know, it says in Galatians that we are to do good unto all men. Okay? But, now what does that word but do? It sets in contrast what was just spoken. But, especially good to the household of faith. Those that are born again of God's Spirit. And sometimes, so many times, we're kinder to people we're trying to get into the Word than we are to each other sometimes. Everybody has their moments, their days. People can have disagreements. But love, but God's love has to prevail in our hearts, one towards another, mutually back and forth in those situations, so that the love of God, the example of Jesus Christ, you guys, look into the Word at the Gospels, His compassion, His love, His determination to minister to God's people, all the way to the point of dying on the cross for us. We didn't even exist. That's who dwells in us. That's who lives in us. That's how we can love and take care of each other. And when the Greek word agape, the word love, to one another, is put into that statement, it is an added statement that takes on the depth of the love of God for His people. It's an example of God's love in the giving of His only begotten Son to die, to redeem us, to give us the ability to walk above the things of this world and to have power and authority over Satan. Because it's a battle. We're in a spiritual battle. Don't think we're not. Every day there is a spiritual battle going on in our lives. And Jesus gave His life. There's another example of the love of God. On that cross, willingly. Remember in the garden He asked God, is there any way to let this pass? And what did God say? And what did Jesus say? Okay, not my will be done, but yours. Sometimes I need to say that to myself. Okay, Vicki, it's not your will, it's God's will. What are you going to do? What great examples of this type of love, the love of God. Because the love of God is something that we can live as an example of our lives. But the love of God is not based upon how I feel that day. Oh, I'm having a great day, easy day. Yeah, man, I love everybody. Not having such a great day. You know, my cat died, my dog bit me, I don't know, whatever happened, it's not a great day. But guess what? The love of God trumps that. We can still rise up and walk with that love of God because we chose to do it. Jesus chose to die. God chose to give Him. We get to choose. Don't sell yourself short. Christ lives within you. You can choose to do the things God puts on your heart to do, irregardless. Because it is a deliberate decision. That word agape includes a deliberate decision to love that way. It's very powerful. It's not conditioned upon anything. Turn to John chapter 13, verse 34. Now look at the scriptures, just a couple here. Here's some verses you can go to. There's many, 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 many others about the love of God. In fact, the love of God is shared many times. This word, allion, which means, I shared that a little bit earlier, which means mutually shared and giving to each other. And then that word love tapped to it with agape is shared over 100 times in the church epistles in the Gospels. 100 times. And there's another word for love attached to God and His Son, Jesus Christ. It's not a physical love. It's a brotherly type of love that's used almost, I think it was 97 times. So the words of love, the importance of love, is just God just speaks it over and over to us in the church epistles. So John 13, chapter 34. A new commandment I give to you, this is Jesus Christ talking to His disciples, that you love one another as I loved you, that you also love one another. He says it twice in the same sentence. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. One of the greatest examples of the Christ in us is the love of God we can manifest to people. It shines. It dispels darkness. It is powerful. It heals. It is giving. And that is what Jesus Christ shared with His disciples when He was getting ready to be crucified a few hours later. Now, Barney and I are only going to Norman, Oklahoma, so we're still going to be around, you know, to share and to give and to stay in touch with you guys. But Jesus Christ shared this at the most crucial, important time of His life. This is what He shared with His disciples. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. This is just great encouragement from God to us. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. These verses are from the New King James, if yours is a little different. Be kindly affectionate to one another. Who's He talking to? The church. He's talking to us. With brotherly love, in honor, honoring each other, respecting each other, loving each other unconditionally, in honor, giving preference. I prefer to be with you guys than an unbeliever. Now, that doesn't mean I don't witness to people. I don't spend time working with people. Those of you who know me and remember Miss Bell, Miss Gloria Bell, took me 13 years. Well, it took God 13 years working in making me patient. That was a great thing I learned with Gloria Bell. But she was in her 80s, and the last 10 years of her life, she came back to God. She had walked away in her 30s because her daughter died, and she was mad at God. And when I met her, I'm like witnessing, and she's like, are you one of those? And I said, one of what? She's a good doer, one of those do-gooder, one of those Christian people. I said, well, yeah, as a matter of fact, I am. She goes, been there, done that, got born again, the whole thing, I'm done. Man, I really liked you. And then she walked out of the room and went back to her library. This was at a job I had. Her and I, our little stations were next to each other. And I'm like, whoa, okay, I guess I won't be talking to her again. Nope, wrong. Next morning, here she comes. And we formed a friendship. And I'm asking God, why am I doing this? And he said, because she's going to come back to me. Oh, okay, no problem. That was great the first 4 or 5 months. 5 years later, I'm asking God, why am I having lunch with her? She retired. I didn't see her every day, but we would meet once a month at least because she's coming back to me. 13 years we did this. And guess what? One night we got home from somewhere, and on our phone where you didn't have cell phones, you know, so you couldn't call each other real quick, there was a message on our home phone, Miss Bell, Vicki, I need you to come over here right now. I need God in my life. I need God back, and I can't go on any longer. And just come over here right now, 10:30 at night. You know what? Went in the bedroom, told Barney, got my purse, getting ready to go out the door, and God goes, stop. And I'm like, what? Stop. Wait till tomorrow morning. I'm like, seriously? We've been waiting for this for years, God. No, wait till tomorrow morning. So I call her back. Gloria, I can't come over tonight. What? You got to come over. I can't come over tonight. I'll see you tomorrow morning at 10:30. Bye. And I hung up. So the next morning I got up. I went. There she was sitting in her chair. She was very bold, Miss Gloria. She told you what was on her mind. I walk in. She goes, I was really mad at you last night. And I said, really? Why? Because I called you and you didn't come over here. And I said, well, I didn't. There is a reason. I know. I go, you do? She said, yep. God and I had to get a few things straight last night. And he really needed to get my head right. And I was just like, okay, Father. Great. And that from that point on, she came to fellowship. We gave her a big birthday party on her 85th birthday or something, and her family came, and her son walked up to me and said, are you Vicki? And I said, yeah. And he goes, what have you done with my mother? I said, well, I think God did what God did, because nobody else could do that. And he goes, I have not seen her like this for over 30 years. Thank you so much. And it was just one of those things where God just taught me so much in ministering to someone that was his kid, that wasn't maybe the most hungry person at that time, you know, kind of bitter. But see, that's the kind of love and affection we're to have for one another. And, you know, Gloria Bells don't come along a lot, thank God. Most people don't take years to turn their heart back around. But her soul was God's, and he wanted her relationship to come back to him, and that's what happened because of the kindness and affection of God's love one towards another. You know, Galatians, I said that, being especially good into the household of faith before, we need to take care of each other. First and foremost, our relationship with God, our relationship in the family, and our relationship with people who need to be ministered to either repair their broken relationship with God or get born again. It doesn't matter. He wants us all to be at the gathering together. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to close in the next couple of scriptures here. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. I could not love the way I love without the Spirit of God within me. And sometimes even then it's a challenge. I just get a little stubborn head, a little oaky stubborn head sometimes. My oaky-itis, as Ken Petty calls it. And God just has to nudge me, you know, and work with me. But guess what? That's what He'll do with every one of us. So it doesn't matter if He puts someone in front of you when you're not quite in a good frame or you're not quite ready to minister. It's probably the time you need to minister the most to get your head back where it needs to be. Well, let's close in 1 John 4. Chapter 4, verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, now listen to this, no man has seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. And that perfect love of God that knows no boundaries, that knows no denial of who you are in Christ, that allows that Spirit of God to come forth out of us, is alive within each and every one of us. And His Word tells us to love each other that way. So, you know, my encouragement to you guys is to keep loving each other the way you've been loving each other. Keep forgiving each other the way we forgive each other. We don't always agree on everything. But who cares? We all agree on who we are in Christ. We all agree that the Word says to love one another unconditionally. The rest of it is just phooey. So, to love each other, to forgive each other, and to keep encouraging each other to grow in God's Word, to walk by the Spirit of God that lives within you, no matter where you are. Grocery store, gas station, church, fellowship, it doesn't matter. Let that be the light that people see in you. Because I'm telling you guys, you have it. We've experienced it. Your love, your encouragement, your forgiveness. We've experienced it here in San Diego for 36 and a half years. And like they said, yeah, there's been bumps in the road in the ministry. Sometimes the four of us didn't agree on something at the beginning of a conversation, but we worked through it. We put it on a shelf until we could go to the Word. That builds leadership. And you guys, you need to rise up and be leaders in this church. It's not up to us, the five of us, Jan, the Linfelds, and us. Yeah, we love doing what we're doing. But you have just as much to teach people, just the same amount of love to give to people as we do. And I want to see, one of our goals is to see this place packed with people. And it's looking pretty good today, but we still got a few empty chairs we could work on. But I love you guys so much, and we will still be involved with Acts Now. In fact, that's our Bible Fellowship Church in Norman, is Acts Now Bible Fellowship. That's what we're going to do in Norman. And we are excited, and yet we are saddened in some ways because we're moving on. But it is the right thing to do. It's a good thing that's happening for all of us. So I love you guys with all my heart. And now you get Barney.
All right, well, bless your hearts. You know, what do you say after 36 and a half years of being able to teach and minister and pastor and walk and develop relationships? And I have four things I really want to say this morning, but But as you know, I love to tell stories or read stories. This is not just for Dan and Rebecca. I think we all love to hear these inspirational type stories. This one in particular is called A Glass of Milk. One day, a poor boy who was selling goods from door to door to pay his way through school found he only had one thin dime left. And he was hungry. He decided he would ask for a meal at the next house. However, he lost his nerve when a lovely young woman opened the door. Instead of a meal, he asked for a drink of water. She thought he looked hungry, so she brought him a large glass of milk. He drank it slowly, and then he asked, "How much do I owe you?" "You don't owe me anything," she replied. "Mother has taught us never to accept pay for a kindness." He said, "Then I thank you from my heart." As Howard Kelly left that house, he not only felt stronger physically, but his faith in God and man was strong also. He had been ready to give up and quit. Years later, that young woman became critically ill. The local doctors were baffled. They finally sent her to the big city, where they called in specialists to study her rare disease. Dr. Howard Kelly was called in for the consultation. When he heard the name of the town she came from, a strange light filled his eyes. Immediately, he rose and went down the hall of the hospital to her room. Dressed in his doctor's gown, he went in to see her. He recognized her at once. He went back to the consultation room, determined to do his best to save her life. From that day, he gave special attention to the case. After a long struggle, the battle was won. Dr. Kelly requested the business office to pass the final bill to him for approval. He looked at it, then wrote something on the edge, and the bill was sent to her room. She feared to open it, for she was sure it would take the rest of her life to pay for it all. Something caught her attention on the side of the bill, and she read the following words: "Paid in full with one glass of milk." Signed, Dr. Howard Kelly. That's so sweet, man. And I think the point is that we don't realize the effect that our lives have on other people. I call it a simple, like an act, random act of kindness, maybe. But boy, down the road, somehow these things all end up coming together and making sense. And you're never the poorer by giving, Christian standards are a lot different than the worldly standards. It's hoard, 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 get as much as you can, and then, if you have the most toys, I guess you say they win. You win, right? See the bumper sticker, "He who dies first with the most toys wins"? That's not really a Christian philosophy. You figured that out? The other bumper sticker I once read said, the only problem with Baptists is they don't hold a mug long enough. Have you ever heard that? I mean, there are some people who have very hard hearts, and they've been hurt by religion. They've been hurt by religious people, right? But I pray to God that we're not those people. I've said this, we've said it before, the people who hurt other Christians are Christians. Christians hurt other Christians. We don't want to be in the business of hurting people, judging people, criticizing people, condemning people. And you know what? In today's world, it's so easy to give a negative opinion. "Well, I think this, and I think that." And pretty soon we've given judgment from our own perspective, of course. But man, death and life are in the power of the tongue, right? So, I just thought that was such a great story, wasn't it? A glass of milk. Oh my gosh. So there's four things I feel like I really need to say here in the next few moments, and I will keep it brief. The first one is thank you. God has allowed us the privilege to be able to serve in this area for many, 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 many years. And I just want to offer my thanksgiving and my heart for being allowed to have the privilege to be here. Many of you I've known since you were younger. When we met Tina, she was like 10 or 12 years old. She looks about the same now. That is a compliment. You know, she looks great, but and so, you know, a lot of time, and I mean, where did it all go? It's just, bam, time goes by. It's just like a fleeting moment, right? But boy, we've just experienced so many wonderful things together, and honestly, you all have been wonderful. I'm just the kind of person that chooses to look at the glass half full. You know, somebody could offend me 5 seconds ago, and I just try to see the best quality in them as possible. I don't try to hold grudges. I don't try to hold resentment and feelings, because you know what? That makes you kind of feel really sick, you know, and like get depressed and feeling bad and hurt and all this stuff. And have I been hurt? Hey, I'm a human being. I've been hurt. You've been hurt. But why hold on to it, you know? And one of the great things that we can just do for one another, and I pray that you will do that for this for me, and I speak on behalf of Vicki, is that you will forgive us. If there have been times where we have had a disagreement or something has not worked out, or we have been in a position where maybe we've spoken words, because you know what? No one's perfect. That we would just request that you would forgive us and that we could clear the slate, right? And number four, really, is the best is yet to come. Amen? This is just one chapter that's closing, but another one is opening. I don't know exactly what God has in store, and, you know, that's kind of like going into the promised land. I mean, it kept those guys walking around in circles. Well, I almost waited 40 years, but God didn't tell me at the beginning, you know, do something different. Here we are, now we're moving on. So, is there a little bit of trepidation and sort of unknown Yeah. I mean, that's just life. That's just life, you know. You could go to the doctor tomorrow and get some kind of report you weren't planning on, right? And then the next day you get another one, it just changes everything. But what I really wanted to share and close with in the Word today are four prayers, starting in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. This is kind of my heart, I think, in light of, I'm not saying goodbye, I just think in light of my heart for you all. So why not it be about prayer? Now, Charles Spurgeon was a great theologian and did a number of things. He said, there's no greater privilege for another individual than to know that you're praying for me. And so let's make that pact today. You will pray for me, you will pray for us, however you do that, and we will make a pact to pray for you. Okay, so whatever's going on out there, you will know someone's praying for you. Okay? Well, there's these four records, and we'll get through them here relatively quick. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spiritual wisdom, spirit wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. That's my prayer for you too. You know, I love our relationship, but you know what the most important thing is? Your relationship with God. And that's my prayer for you, that you will draw closer to the Father. And when he speaks, you hear him. You know? And I trust that that has kind of been the message of our ministry, is not, you know, in necessarily believing in Barney and Vicky and what they say, but that we've been able to direct you guys to grow in your relationship with God, to be able to listen to what He says, you know. And in the process, you know, hopefully we're somewhat like-minded, you know. That always works out well. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, there's another small section. In 14 it says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end." Ultimately, everything we do is to bring glory to the Father in thanksgiving for the work of His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, I mean, it reminds me of, like she said, 1 Corinthians 13:1. "Do I speak with the tongues of men and angels? I have not love. What? I'm nothing." You know, our priorities and motives sometimes get all messed up. The truth is, all of these things and the unity of the body of Christ is to bring glory and praise to the God Almighty. And that's what this life is all about. See? The enemy's working just to try and distract us, to keep us from that mission. To magnify God. Praise God. Thank you, God. We love you, God. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. And some of us think we can think pretty good, you know. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. What I love about these prayers is there's always this sort of atmosphere and attitude of thanksgiving. Every one of these has opened with, "I cease not to give thanks and prayers for you before God." Philippians chapter, and this one doesn't change, Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests with joy, from your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that He which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." He'll continue to keep working within you until that great day of Jesus Christ. Verse 8. "For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment, that you may approve those things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ." Here we go again. "Unto the glory and praise of God." And finally, in Colossians chapter 1, the fourth prayer, I thought would just be so wonderful and beneficial to share in light of sort of our parting words. And it's not until we meet again. Of course, that could be true. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3, "We give thanks to God." Not uh-oh, but it's cool. "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." You see a repetitive theme here? Think about thanksgiving and prayer and praise all seem to kind of be bundled up together here. "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel." Verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Four prayers. Four visions. And I've got to be honest with you, every one of these talks about our spiritual sensitivity to become more aware of God, more aware of the Father, more aware of the Spirit, more aware of who we are, more aware of our inheritance. If I told Joe, you've got an inheritance for $1 million, it's just sitting there waiting for you, somehow I feel like his life would change. And yet the Bible says we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We've got everything spiritually there ever is to get the second you got born again. We've got a lot. And we're, even though we're, the hairs are growing different colors and all these things, I feel like sometimes we're just still learning so much. I just feel like you learn something, it's just like you're still at an infant stage, you know? But through 39, 40 years, we've grown, we've learned, we've changed, we've developed, we have become wiser, we have become more knowledgeable. But all that is designed just so that we become greater lovers. More knowledge of God, draw close to God. How does that translate? Love. Love. Who is Jesus? Love. I've said this before, when you squeeze a Christian, what should come out? Love. Pressure on a Christian. Love. Love. See? It's who we are. It's what we've been given. And it sets us so far above the standards of the world. See? Because we can use that as a kind of a basis and check all of our actions and words. Is it loving? Is it kind? Does it build you up like a Scott Powell song, right? And bring you peace of mind. So true. Amen? So thank you guys for letting us have an opportunity to share here this morning. I don't even begin to know how you put into words all that has been a part of our lives, but I do know that hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. We're in the same team. We're playing together. We're all going to heaven. And we will be partying forever in eternity. So, you know, this is kind of bittersweet, you know, for us to leave. I mean, it's not as easy, but I do know we'll be together. And that is a wonderful joy. So, God bless you. Thank you very much. And that's it. All right.